Chapter 5, A Visit to a Friend. This is sounding pretty scary, I said to Moongobble as we were walking back to the cottage. Irk had hopped off to examine a plant, and Fireball was flying ahead of us, so it was just the two of us talking. Maybe we should ask the Rusty Knight to come along, said Moongobble. The Rusty Knight is a friend of ours who lives on the other side of Pigbone. Since there are only 15 houses in Pigbone, it's a pretty quick walk to his side of the town. When we got back to Moongobble's home, we had some lunch and then set out to visit him. I noticed that Peter and Thomas did not come out to bother us as we went through town. They might have made fun of Moongobble when he wasn't there, but they didn't say anything when he was with me. Maybe they were afraid he would turn them into cheese. I liked the Rusty Knight's cottage. It is the only place in Pigbone that has real glass in the windows, and he has a very nice garden. We knocked on the door, and then knocked again. He didn't answer right away. That could mean he wasn't at home, but what it probably meant was that he didn't hear us. The Rusty Knight's ears do not work very well. Finally, Moongobble cast a spell that made a small explosion. Oh, monkey fat, he said. I didn't mean to do that. That's all right, said Irk. I suspect that at least he heard it. Indeed, a moment later, the Rusty Knight came to the door. He had his hand stuck in a vase. I was cleaning it, he said, holding up his vase-covered hand, and look what happened. I can get that off for you, said Moongobble, and he was right. It only took 3 spells and a stick of butter to get the vase off the Rusty Knight's hand. We used the butter after Moongobble gave up on trying to do it with magic. Well, that's a relief, said the Rusty Knight, once the vase was sitting on the table and he could see his hand again. I thought I might have to spend the rest of my life that way. Now, how can I help you, Moongobble? We're going on another quest, Moongobble said. A brother quest? Said the Rusty Knight. I didn't know you had a brother. Another, bellowed Irk. Ah, said the Rusty Knight, I see. And what are you after this time? We need to fetch a bottle of tears from the weeping werewolf, Moongobble said. The Rusty Knight blinked and pulled back from the table. Wolf, he cried. Werewolf, here? Werewolf, bellowed Irk, as in a man who becomes a wolf when the moon is full, except this one doesn't wait for a full moon. The Rusty Knight opened his eyes very wide. Werewolves are not the kind of thing a knight usually tackles, he said. We're more in the line of slaying ogres, giants, and dragons. Hey, said Fireball, I resent that. Sorry, said the Rusty Knight, but you take my point. Even so, we would like to have you along, said Moongobble. The Rusty Knight looked at his hand, then at the vase. Well, I do owe you a favor, he said. I guess I had better come along. Do you suppose you could give me a hand with my armor? It's not easy to get into. Working together, Moongobble, Fireball, and I soon had the Rusty Knight dressed. All set to go, he said happily. Then he asked a question that made me wish we had never come to visit him. Have you asked Edward's mother if he can go? Chapter 6, Warnings. Our next stop was my own cottage. I knew we really did have to ask Mother, but I was afraid she would say no, and I didn't think I could stand it if I didn't get to go along. At first, things did not look good. Mother did not like the idea, any more than she had liked the idea of me going along on Moongobble's first quest. But look how well that trip turned out, I said. And now he has me to protect him, added Fireball, sticking his head over my shoulder. You can't get much better protection than a dragon. You're not much of a dragon, Mother said sourly. Still, after Moongobble, Irk, and the Rusty Knight had all assured Mother that they would keep me out of danger, Mother agreed to let me go. Then she packed some food for all of us. Moongobble had plenty of food of his own, but Mother was convinced we would starve if she didn't send some along, too. We all slept at Moongobble's that night because we wanted to get a very early start. After all, it was a 2-day walk to the Forest of Night. Along the way, we stopped to collect wolfbane. Irk was the best at spotting it. He would hop along ahead of us, then shout, "Look over here!" Soon we had a lot of the stuff. I wondered if a simple plant could really protect us from a werewolf. Late on the afternoon of the second day, a rabbit hopped up to us and said, "You do know where this road leads, don't you?" "Of course," said Moongobble, "it goes to the Forest of Night." "Then what are you doing walking on it?" cried the rabbit, wringing his paws. "Turn back while you still can." Lowering his voice, he added, Many go in, but few come out. Then he turned and hopped away. Wait, called Moongobble, but the rabbit was gone. That was very strange, said Urk. You mean that the rabbit could talk, I asked. No, that he made sense. Rabbits are usually complete idiots. But now that you mention it, the fact that he spoke to us in human words is weird, too. I had gotten used to talking animals. After all, Urk and Fireball were both pretty chatty. But they were magical animals. Most animals couldn't talk that way, not even the mice in Moongobble's hat. I was still thinking about that when I heard a deep voice say, "The rabbit is right. Turn back while you still can." I looked up. A huge badger was waddling in our direction. Clearly, he was the one who had spoken. "We can't turn back," Moongobble said. "We've got a job to do, and we're going to do it." The badger shook his head sadly, then said, "Many go in, but few come out. Oh, well, don't say I didn't warn you. Ah, there's my burrow." And with that, he dove into a hole in the ground and disappeared. "Stranger and stranger," Urk said. We hadn't walked much farther when we met a skunk who stood up in the center of the road, spread his arms, and said, "Oh, foolish wanderers, turn back while there's still time." "We can't turn back," said Moongobble. He was starting to sound cranky now. "We have urgent business in the forest." I was afraid the skunk was going to spray us, but instead he just said, "More the fools you, many go in, but few come out." Then he scampered away. A few minutes after we met the skunk, the rusty knight said, "Look, there's a sign." When we got closer, we were able to read it. It said, "Forest of Night, 1 mile. Many go in, but few come out. Turn back now while you still can." We didn't turn back, though. We had a job to do. Near the edge of the forest, we met a man. He was rather strange-looking, with a single thick eyebrow that went straight across his face. He seemed alarmed to find us there. "What are you doing?" he asked. "Where are you going?" "We're on a quest," Moongobble said. "It takes us into the Forest of Night." "This is a bad place to be questing," the man said. "It's not safe, especially not for a boy. Especially not now." "Why not now?" asked Moongobble. The man looked at the sky and shuddered. "It's only a few hours until nightfall. Strange things happen in that forest at night." "We have a mission," said Moongobble firmly. Then he turned to me and said, "But maybe you should stay here with this man." "No," cried the man, "that is not possible." "What was the matter with him?" I asked as we continued on. "Who knows," said Urk. "Living this close to the Forest of Night would probably make anyone crazy." A mile later, we saw another sign. It said, "You are now entering the Forest of Night, you fool."